I'm Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled. In this series, I help to demystify technology in the world of business. Join me as we explore how technology can make your business better. In this episode, we're chatting about endpoint or workstation virtualization. We're chatting about what EPV is, what the benefits are to implement, and what the potential pitfalls can be. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer idea of how EPV can benefit your business. I'm joined by Andy Brouwer from IntraCloud. Andy, welcome.
Good morning. Okay, thank you.
So we always start the show by just give us a little bit of background and who you are.
So I suppose I'm a mad hatter that loves technology. I'm getting a bit old now, but I still love the technology. I used to be the CTO for Business Connection for quite a few years. Worked for Anglo American for many years. I worked for various software companies as well. Did a lot of software development. And currently I'm helping IntraCloud with a new South African-based cloud offering, which we can go global with.
And that's and then in your spare time, you do some weird energy stuff.
Yes, that's the hydrogen fuel cell I've been busy with the group of professors in Europe for a couple of years now, and hopefully we get this off the ground pretty soon now.
Especially where we are in South Africa from that perspective. So, Andy, let's jump right in. When you and I last chatted, you showed me some really, really interesting cloud technologies. And I think for me, the first question is that piqued my interest is, a lot of people are talking about virtualization, and I think when we think about it, we think specifically about servers, but you can also virtualize workstations.
Yes, I think having been around the block for many years, one knows that virtualization has been around since the 70s, in fact, slightly before that. And I suppose the first persons or companies that used to start looking at the endpoint virtualization would be in a company called Citrix,
okay.
As one goes back in history. And now we start seeing the evolution of words, which the IT industry is like the fashion industry. They keep recreating new words and meaning old things.
Okay. I like that saying.
So one has to be very careful about the wording that you read, and make sure that what you're buying or what you're looking for is actually getting to the point of the solution. I think when you mentioned about server virtualization, yes, I think VMware was actually the company that made virtualization very popular. But prior to that, there was something called VDC's component, and there's a few other companies that started doing VNC as an example. It started doing the abstraction of a desktop for you. And this is where the whole thing started morphing into being able to see what you can virtualize and what you can't. Most things can be virtualized. Bigger databases, not a good idea to virtualize them. The closer they are to bare metal. But that said, the new virtualization technologies are coming along in leaps and bounds.
So if we had to talk endpoint virtualization or workstation virtualization, how does that work?
So there's two ways that one can look at that. People talk about endpoint and desktop virtualization and that. The one is your desktop itself, the equipment that you've got, that portion gets virtualized so that you can move that portion, your laptop as an example. You can move that virtual instance onto another laptop without having to reinstall it. That's the one way of looking at it.
Okay.
The other way of looking at it is, where are you connecting to? So your desktop, is it running off a client server model, which means you still need the server. So the easy way to test if you've got something that's working for you is to switch off the server and say, can I still work? Because that's where the problem comes in.
Okay.
So the endpoint virtualization is actually morphed off a normal laptop into a cell phone as well, into the tablets. So one needs to see what dynamic happened with that. And then the dynamics that happened with that is, can you work offline?
Especially in these days.
Yes. So also now with COVID, can you work offline? And that also brought leaps and bounds of the technology changing and morphing quite a bit. But yes, can you work from anywhere? And can you work offline?
And then, if I think about what you showed me there, within a matter of, I almost want to say seconds, but let's say maybe a minute or two, you had a fully fledged workstation environment that you just spinned up, and I could connect to that with anything. It can be a tablet, it can be a dumb terminal, and that... how do I say the processing component sat somewhere in a cloud, and I didn't have to buy an expensive laptop or anything like that.
That's correct. So when we start looking at ways that the technology is morphing in the world, really everything that people talk about cloudifying systems, what they're really saying is it runs on a web server. That's what cloudify really means or should mean.
And
otherwise, you've got legacy stuff in the back of it.
And then when we look at why would companies look or consider at virtualizing their endpoints? What's the benefits?
So the first thing is, what is the business requirement? What are you trying to achieve? So let's take COVID as an example. People can't work from the office. They need to work from home. That is one of the drivers. The other one is cost. So one always looks for the functionality, what is the business driver, and then you look at the associated cost. And once you've balanced those two and you've identified those problems, then you can come up with a solution. Too many times IT sells solutions without understanding what the problem is. So it's always good to have the problem definition as a base, and you move forward from there.
That's just experience talking there. I love what you just said there now. So if I had to take an example in most of the SME businesses that we encounter, if I can even take Catalytic as an example for ourselves, the bulk of the work that we do is online. In let's call it a centralized CRM portal. So if I had to look at it and say, but why do I end up buying a high-powered laptop for every employee that works there when the interface, everything that they need to do is basically in a web browser, and then you have the problem of laptops getting stolen or lost or whatever the story is. So if I had to think about it logically and I say, what's the reason why we have all of this processing power at a workstation level when all of that processing power theoretically can or should be sitting in the cloud? Is that a realistic way of looking at things?
I think the what you're really standing on and basing what you're saying on is really the economics of how people were pushing the machines. So there used to be big mainframes, and that did all the processing. Then people moved everything out, and everybody had a PC. Then they put it in cloud, and everything moved back to the cloud. Now we're smartening up the browsers, and we're moving everything sort of into a meshed environment as opposed to client-server. Because the centralization, decentralization is one thing, but having a meshed environment is actually where we need to go from a network survivability perspective. Having more than one route to get somewhere and more than one route to get to your servers and your clients.
Okay. I like the way you say that. And then I guess if we look at the... I don't want to call it the lack of uptake, there can be potential pitfalls that will stop people from going this workstation virtualization route.
Yes, I think just to get back to that point that I made just now, what is the problem that you're trying to solve? And then, you can identify that. And then you've got the justification for moving forward. But there's some interesting things that happen in IT, and I think some of the IT people are going to get very upset or embarrassed what I'm going to say next.
Yeah.
It is that Because they are used to using something and they don't want to learn something new, anything new that comes across their path, they kick against. So you get a business walking to IT saying, we need to do this. And now the IT guys feel threatened and say, no, that's rubbish, we can't do that. That is the problem.
100%, I agree
with
you.
That's why there's slow uptake. Because business looks at the outcome and they look at the costs. So that's why business is putting so much pressure on IT, and they're saying that IT CIOs need to be part of the business, and that's what is actually happening. Stop thinking just IT. Think it from a business perspective, and then you move forward a lot quicker.
I like what you're saying. Now, I always refer to that as technology religion, because over and above the IT component, then there's also a brand specificity that you go, if it's not this, then don't even talk to me about it, because it's worked for me once, and that's the horse that I'm backing.
And I suppose in South Africa, and maybe not unique to South Africa, but corruption also has probably played a big part in not moving away from certain technologies and certain partners.
Okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And do you
this
think
comes down to governance?
Do you think that IT might also be resistant to introduce new technologies because users don't really want to learn new stuff? Do you think that change management is a big problem?
Well, change management is quite an interesting concept. Change management is sort of a dying control because of the DevOps concept. You've developed it, you make it operate. So you are sure that when you put something into production, you're not pointing fingers. It's one responsibility. Because change control also never always understood what people were changing.
Yes.
So now if you have a flow of business, we want to do some pricing changes because we've got a new sale tomorrow. Those things have to happen very quickly, near real time. So that dynamic of change control, yes, it needs to be there, but not as rigid as what it used to be, and has to be a lot more agile going forward.
Yeah, so if I now come back to the business motivation, so like I said, if I think about all of the endpoints that we procure and all of the potential processing power that sits there, but 80% of the business is sort of office hours driven and admin driven. Where would I start? How would I work out if this endpoint virtualization can work for my business?
Okay, so what challenges do you have in your business at the moment? I think just trying to identify what challenges you currently have. If we do look at, and we take COVID again as an example, the challenges were people couldn't work remotely, or some people couldn't work remotely. They couldn't get to the server. We've got power outages. We have all these other challenges which need to be overcome. So when you look at all the challenges and the problems you have, then you start saying, well, all right, what we need to do is how can we save costs? Because now we have to pay for people's networks at home and power units and all these things. So cost is a big factor, but how can we do this more cost effectively? That is where part of the stuff that we're talking about now is this very thin client, which is a browser. A browser is available on every machine. So by exploiting the browser and putting some functionality into that code so that you can edit a Word document as well, as an example, even in an offline mode, and it can be synchronized when you get back online. That's part of the functionality which one needs to have available.
That's sort of like what you showed me when I saw you the last time.
That's correct.
I mean, the ease of use there was just so for me, if I think specifically in a small to medium enterprise, like you say, cost is one thing, control, and then there's also let's call it the friction, you know, like it takes long for IT to resolve problems or get things standardized or fixed and all that type of stuff. So in my mind, if I think about what you showed there, how instant it is, I didn't have to wait for any hardware to arrive or anything like that. It was just like it was like magic almost.
Yes, and that's also it's basically becomes down to They used to call it WebOS, which was a web operating system, which did belong to Hewlett-Packard at one stage. I think LG bought that eventually. Really, one's looking at what we're calling a web operating system, right from the ground up and building on top of that. And the interesting topic we're using today is this endpoint virtualization. But now, if you think of Docker that people are using,
yeah,
Docker is sort of a mini container, which is an instance of virtualization, which you can bounce around anywhere where you would like it. And now, all of a sudden, this whole world changes.
And that's interesting for me now. So if I'm now you know, in our catalytic world, we primarily deal with a small to medium enterprise business. My example that I use on the show is always is I've got a accounting business. I do outsourced accounting for my customers. I understand accounting and costs. I don't understand any of the technology things. How do I even know where to start?
So I always start with a problem statement. So you want to run your financial packages in various areas. You want to make sure that this is synchronized because you've got more than one customer and you've got one central database, I assume. So you want to have this stuff synchronized, but the things to watch out for, is there connectivity, is there functionality, and how can we keep the operation running? That's really the key word. This whole virtualization world is about keeping functionality and your business running.
I love that.
So being able flexible, moving the stuff around, that's what we're really aiming for. So we can use all the words, but you want to keep the business running because we live in a real-time world.
And then when we've identified the problem statement and you know we there is a solution on the table, is it a risky move, or can I dip my toe in the water and sort of get a feel for it before I commit in its entirety?
One should always dip your toe in the water with IT. So you would go through what they call a proof of concept, but I really like calling it a proof of value.
Show the value,
because concepts have been proven. The concept was proved in the lab when they built this stuff.
Yeah.
But come and prove value to me as a business, and then I can use it. So once you see the value, of course, you'll move forward with it.
Andy, I love that. I mean, proof of value. I think for any of our business listeners today, I mean, that's fundamentally what it boils down to is I don't want to take too much risk. And if I understand the value, then it's easy to make a decision. So if somebody listened to the show today and they want to know more, they can contact you to have a discussion and explore this proof of value that you're talking about?
I'm more than welcome to do that.
Okay, excellent. We'll put up the what's the best place to get hold of you, Andy?
I suppose.
Andy, I think we've just lost you there now. So we'll put up all of those details when we publish the podcast later today. And then I can honestly say I've seen it with my own eyes recently. And in my life, you know, when you can demonstrate that value and you can see the simplicity with your own eyes, it's really something to behold. And I think there's a lot of IT people that's gonna have to scratch their heads and come out of their comfort zones quite dramatically because I think there's some real business value there. Andy, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Yaku. And thank you, audience, for listening.
Thanks for listening to Unbundled, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to demystify technology so that you can make smarter decisions for your business. Remember that you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website, and for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you're looking for help with communications tools for your business, please visit catalytic.co.za. CliffCentral.com